Happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller, and today we'll begin our program by taking a look at the future of passenger rail service in Wisconsin. Bill Draves of River Falls, Wisconsin, is the president of the Learning Resources Network. It's known as LEARN. It's the largest continuing education association in the world. He has authored 6 books and is co-author of 9 Shift, which describes the work, life, the education in the 21st century. And one of the chapters in that book I've had a chance to look at deals with trains replacing cars. And so he's our guest today as we talk about the future of rail service in Wisconsin. If you want to chime in with your own thoughts on it, give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. And one of our computers is down today, the one that takes your emails, so we can't take emails today. So don't email us. Instead, call in at 1-800-642-1234. Bill Draves, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today. Appreciate it very much.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. The Midwest governors in Chicago met in Chicago a couple weeks ago, and they were kind of in a show of unity, I guess, as they push for that 8-state high-speed rail network. What do you think about it?
Oh, I think it's absolutely essential. I think it's an exciting time, a time for citizens to be involved as well. But we are seeing now just the beginnings. We predicted in our book that in 2010 we'd start building the trains up again, and it's a very positive, exciting time.
This project, just for those who aren't totally familiar with it, they're looking to upgrade at least 3 routes, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Chicago to St. Louis is one, I believe.
Right. And to Detroit, I think. But here in Wisconsin, we're interested in the one that eventually will go Chicago to Minneapolis. That'll be the first line, big high-speed line. It's currently now operating Amtrak, but only one train a day and lower speed. So the next phase is to get Milwaukee to Madison connected. Madison's not even on that Chicago to Minneapolis line now. So that's the next one, and that's going to be happening at some point in time in the near future.
So we'll go and actually wind up going to Chicago through Milwaukee from Madison, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And then Chicago to Pontiac, Michigan through Detroit. So pretty heady stuff.
Yes. Well, we're not ahead in this game. Obviously, Europe has hundreds of trains, and they're going 240 miles an hour. But being able to go faster, safer, and then the real kicker is that you can work while you're on the train, and you simply can't do that in the car. And that's why, fundamentally, business and work people are switching to trains.
In reading your chapter 9 in your book, 9 Shift, you're looking at a big reduction in auto traffic and a much bigger increase in rail, using rail.
Yes. 100 years ago, we went through this economic transition. We went from the farming community to the industrial age, and, of course, Wisconsin went through that. And we went from the horse and buggy to the automobile. And so we are now moving out of the industrial age into the information or digital or internet age, and trains simply provide a way for people to get places faster. Again, you can't work and drive at the same time, and that's kind of the bottom line. And then for Generation Y, they understand that cars are destroying the environment, and that's not a situation that can go on for very long.
Well, Frank in Green Bay is online with a comment or question. Let's turn to Frank. Hi, thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to make the point that while the governor and the Secretary of Transportation are in favor of this, there are people in the Wisconsin Department of Transportation doing their best to try and undermine it. And the point that I'm going to make is that in the Connections 2030 plan, which you mentioned earlier, the first draft published last November said that the Fox Valley line to Green Bay was going to be completed by 2019. The revised draft, which came out after they received lots of comments from people saying this isn't fast enough, actually has this line being completed by 2030. So they want to delay the Fox Valley line by another 11 years. And I think that people need to get those comments into the DOT. They can look up the website if they just do a search on Connections 2030 and tell them to get back to the program and talk about implementing Fox Valley sooner rather than delaying it by a further 11 years.
Thank you for calling, Frank. A comment from you, Bill Draves?
Yeah, I agree with the caller. The first line we discussed, Chicago to Minneapolis, the second line, Chicago to Green Bay. And in the DOT plan 6 months ago, that was the second route to be built, and the caller was right on that timing, and it has been pushed back to a third priority. And I think the Fox Valley, Fond du Lac, Oshkosh, Appleton, Neenah, Menasha, Green Bay is such an important economic area of the state that it should be moved back up and second in priority. It's interesting, Congressman Petrie from that district has been named chair of a Midwest committee on this whole thing. So maybe that will help get that back to the second priority.
No. Okay. Thanks again, Frank, for calling. I appreciate it. I'm going to give Peter in Madison a chance. Peter, hello to you.
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
I wanted to refer to a conversation I had with a friend of a friend in Forest County, Wisconsin, northeast.
Yeah.
And he was saying that when he was a kid, and he's about 60 years old, he remembers going from Pembine, which is actually in Marinette County, down to Chicago for weekends. And I'd like to, that'd be exciting to have that again. And also, I don't feel really comfortable about having 240-mile-an-hour trains going through Wisconsin. It kind of feels like a hazard environmentally and other ways, I guess. So is there any chance it wouldn't be high speed? It would be just, you know,
well,
the speed of Amtrak trains?
Yeah, that's a good question. In this country, when we talk about a high speed, we're talking about 110 miles an hour, not 240. And you're right, because of the crossings, you can't have a train going more than 110 miles an hour with crossings. So think of the 240 as being like an interstate with nobody able to get on or and cross into the interstate. And so when they're building the 240 lines, you can't cross.
Yeah.
So we're not building those yet. That's in the distant future.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Peter, for calling. Appreciate your call. And yeah, go ahead. You were going to add something, Bill.
Well, I was just going to add what the caller was saying about traveling a very long distance to see friends or a weekend, and that's going to be possible with trains. People are going to be able to have lunch with a sister or an associate in St. Louis and come back to Wisconsin the same day, but having worked all the way down and back, because these trains will have high-speed wireless internet connections. And the DOT, Ron Adams, has already announced that the one between Milwaukee and Chicago will have that soon. So very exciting.
Very exciting. Okay, thanks again, Peter, for calling. Cheryl in Lancaster, we are on to you now. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. Thank you.
Sure.
I think I heard that, I think probably, I believe, connected to the two trains from Spain that Wisconsin is purchasing, that there will be some assembly going on in Wisconsin. Do we know? It seemed like there were maybe two places over near Milwaukee or Janesville. Do we know more about that yet?
Hmm. Bill, do you know anything about that?
I don't. It would be great. We should be building trains here. 100 years ago, we were building 2,000 passenger cars a year. And when I was in Fond du Lac, I was talking to someone who used to work at Giddings and Lewis, and I said, how long to switch a factory from making cars to making trains? He said 3 months.
That's it.
So we ought to be thinking about that, too.
Well, it's hard to imagine those trains coming across the ocean in one piece, and you know? So it's got, they got to be assembled somewhere, and one would assume they would be assembled at more or less the point of use, I would think. But I'm sure we'll be learning some more about that as time goes on. Cheryl, thanks.
Find out.
Yeah, someone else may have some information on that, too. John in Woodbury, Minnesota, on to you now. Hi, John.
Hi. Trains were initially built by private industry. Why not do that now?
Okay.
That's a good question. Historically, the trains, as cars took over in the last century, the freight train railroads could make more money off of freight rather than passenger. And so passenger trains declined. The last time I rode a train from Fond du Lac, where I grew up, was 1959. That's pretty well the year that passenger trains died. It's a very interesting long-term question, because you look at highways, and the government supports the roads, but private companies build the cars. You look at airports, again, the government builds the airport and the control tower, but private industry flies the planes. At this point in time, there's no plans for private industry to run the trains. So the government, the people are doing both, build and actually, it's the reverse now, because the railroads own the track, and the government is running the trains.
Interesting. Thanks, John. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Talking today about the future of passenger rail service in Wisconsin with Bill Draves of River Falls, president of the Learning Resources Network, known as LEARN, and co-author of the book titled Nine Shift, which describes the future of work, life, and education in the 21st century. And one of the chapters deals with trains replacing cars. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Bill Draves, our guest, as we talk the future of passenger rail service in Wisconsin. Jordan in Marengo up next. Hi, Jordan. Thank you for calling.
Hey, not a problem. I'm basically looking for a reaction to the fact that I believe the state government, and I don't really know what kind of negotiations they're underway with, and I would understand that they'd be private at this point, but I think if we're going to do that line from Chicago through Madison, we're going to need to get the Canadian Pacific freights to coordinate with the Canadian National and start using that line via Stevens Point to get freight interference off of the corridor that they're talking of, the current Amtrak corridor. Also, I think it'd be really important for the state of Wisconsin to rebuild the north end of the old Milwaukee Road into Green Bay, because if you're going to get passenger rail through the Fox Cities and on up to Green Bay, by restoring that old Milwaukee Road line through Elkhart Lake, Plymouth, that way the freights to and from Sheboygan and Green Bay can be funneled onto that line, which will clear up capacity for commuter rail in and out of Sheboygan and the Amtrak high-speed stuff through the Fox Cities and on up to Green Bay. So those are my suggestions, and maybe the state's already working on that, and I'm looking for a reaction to those concepts, and thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Bill Draves, comment?
Yeah, well, there are some secrets going on, but there are citizen hearings taking place next week, and one of those is in Appleton. So the caller could show up and talk about his thoughts there. There are no plans for going on the Sheboygan side of Lake Winnebago right now for passenger rail. The freight companies so far have been very positive and working together, as best we can tell, with the state and Amtrak, because the state's going to be upgrading their tracks. So right now it's kind of a win-win.
I was wondering, I should mention that the DOT is holding a hearing, or I should re-mention it again, that it's holding a hearing on Connections 2030 this public hearing, as a matter of fact, this afternoon from 4 to 7 o'clock at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. So that's another one of the hearings. Do you know offhand, Bill, if people can send in questions online or email questions or comments or suggestions?
Yes, they can. You need to Google DOT, Wisconsin DOT 2030 plan, and then there is a link for sending in online comments.
So if a person can't make it to those meetings, at least they can send in a written response to it.
Right.
Thanks, Jordan, again for calling. I appreciate it. Paul and Slinger, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Paul.
Good morning. Good morning. Could you just talk a little bit about the upgrading of the infrastructure? For example, in Europe, they have all post-tension concrete railroad ties. So, you know, trains traveling at 110 miles an hour, are beds in a structural condition where they can take that kind of high-speed flexing? That's one question. The other one is, you know, with animals in Wisconsin, if you hit a large animal at 110 miles an hour, is that going to cause some major damages to the engine? And the other one would be, are you putting in railroad crossings at all, these places where these high-speed trains cross either town roads or county roads or state roads?
Okay. So we've got three questions.
Well, I'm not a technical person, but I know that the track has to be upgraded. And so, yes, that's what most of the funding is going towards, is to upgrade the existing track. Here, right now, we're, with very few exceptions in the United States, California being one, we're using existing freight railroad tracks. I guess I would say the upside on the hitting wildlife is that trains are going to hit a lot fewer wildlife, and that goes to the whole environmental issue about trains being safer not only for humans but also for wildlife there. A major part of that first funding is going to be to take the train into Madison, and that track has to be, I don't know, from a non-technical person, kind of starting from zero. So a lot of work will be done to upgrade the track.
What about railroad crossings? That was the third part of the question Paul had.
Yeah, I'm not technical on that, but we have existing railroad crossings, and you can't go more than 110 miles an hour when there are any railroad crossings. So I don't know about upgrading the crossings. I'm assuming some engineers will be working on that as well.
Thanks again, Paul, for calling. Jeff in Eau Claire, your turn now. Hi.
Hi. Thanks, Larry, for having this program. I'm interested in the topic. I don't know much about train service and what the plans are for this these trains, but I live in Eau Claire, and I'd like to get to the cities. How would that work for me if all the plans go according to the plan?
Okay.
Well, that's a great question. There's two different plans. The DOT has, in the new so-called final plan, does want to do a split corridor. But when you're going to the Twin Cities at Tolma, you're either going to go over to La Crosse and up the river the way the train goes now, or the DOT suggests that you could also, on alternate routes, go up to Eau Claire and into the Twin Cities. Personally, I think that's a bad plan. I think it only gives Eau Claire three trains a day, insufficient to get to the Twin Cities for business, getting to the airport, et cetera. A number of cities, La Crosse, Hudson River Falls, where I'm from, Stevens Point, and the Wisconsin Association of Railroad Passengers have suggested a third line, which would connect St. Paul and Eau Claire over to Appleton. And that would connect the west of the state to the Fox Valley and would start to create a statewide network. From my point of view, we need to build a network because trains are replacing cars, and that's how we need to travel. So we need to connect the major cities in Wisconsin, including Stevens Point and others, in a network rather than just having one or two routes.
Mm-hmm. Taking in, getting into get into action. When would this happen? I mean, what's the window?
Well, the real window is in the next 10 years. We don't know exactly when Wisconsin's going to get the funding from the feds. You got to say we're high up on the list, but nobody knows for sure. And then have to decide, you know, whether they're going to do this split corridor or not. And that's going to be an issue.
Hmm. All right, so there's little bit yet to do before we'll have some definite plans in terms of timing. Jeff, thank you. Steve in Brookfield, on to you now. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for accepting my call.
Sure.
All right. Well, I just wanted to say that I really like the idea of the transit system that they're going to, you know, be trying to put up in this area. I was stationed in Japan for the last year, where that's all we could really rely on was the bullet train and then the rest, you know, regular city transit system, which was immaculate, always clean, and you could set your watch by the time. So, I mean, I don't know if Wisconsin's going to go through that. But my only fear is I really believe that the rail system to Green Bay should be pushed to priority, you know, like you guys were saying, number two. All right, definitely not number five, because I have a feeling that the novelty of the railway system is going to wear off in a couple of years for the people in Wisconsin. And the only big business that rail system is going to get is from Chicago to Green Bay during, you know, the Packers, which is going to bring so much revenue in. But the other systems going to the Twin Cities and Madison, I just have a bad feeling that it's going to wear off eventually in time.
All right. Well, how do you react to that, Bill?
Well, I've been on the high-speed bulletin train in Japan, and I agree with the caller. It's amazing. It is quiet. It is fast. You can get up and walk around, go get something to eat. It's amazing. I agree with getting a higher priority to Green Bay. I would disagree with the caller about this being a fad or it's going to wear off or the money's going to disappear. Generation Y, which is the biggest generation in history, they're currently age 9 to 29. They're the ones who are in control. They're the driving force, and they want trains. They don't want cars. So there's already a proposal by James Oberstar to fund trains at $50 billion. That's the next level, but then we go up from there. So I think over the next 10 years, you're going to see funding for trains grow, not go down.
In your book, you talk about, I'm trying to find the chapter again, about the reasons why trains will replace cars. And you talked a little about that earlier.
Yeah.
But maybe you could expand on that a bit.
Sure. Well, the big economic one is you can't work and drive. People are driving about 2 to 3 hours a day, and that's about 25% of your work time. And that simply is not profitable in this century. Time is so valuable to workers and to employers that employers are not going to be able to run a profitable business with a 25% disadvantage over the competition whose employees somewhere else are riding on trains and working. We mentioned the environment and the pollution of automobiles, and electric cars still will pollute the environment. We have pavement the size of Georgia in the United States. We have runoff. We have DUI, a concern here in Wisconsin. There is no DUI on trains, and that is welcome news for everybody. Clearly, a million people a year worldwide die from auto accidents. The World Health Organization says it's the third most preventable cause of death. For teenagers, it's the leading cause of death in the United States. So safety is also going to be at work there as well.
And Steve, thank you again for calling. I want to give Dave in Green Bay a chance to chime in here. Dave, hi to you.
Yeah, how you doing?
Great.
I just want to know, I know these trains in Wisconsin have something to do with stimulus funding. What's going to happen 10 to 20 years down? You kind of touched on it a little bit. Is this going to be a tax deal, or is this going to be self-sufficient? I'm not sure. And if it's taxes, then I got to kind of say, hold on, you know. hang up and listen to your comments.
All right. Thank you for calling, Dave. Are we going to make money on this, Bill?
Well, the government supports all kinds of transportation, whether it's highways. Wisconsin, I believe, is spending $1.5 billion a year just on our state highways. But it's going to be a combination of private. People are paying to get on trains. Simply transferring. People are already spending $100 billion a year in the United States just on automobile insurance. That's another thing about trains. You don't need any insurance to ride a train. So people are spending $100 billion a year just on insurance. That's not on the car. That's not on gas. If we just transferred that money that people are already spending, we would have $100 billion a year to fund trains. So we're going to get it by reallocation of both private individual dollars and the state monies.
Thanks, Dave. Fred and Delavan, on to you now. Hi, Fred.
How you doing?
Good.
I worked on a project in California for this high-speed rail between San Francisco and the L.A. area when it was running down the Central Valley. One of the earlier callers had made the comment or posed the question about at-grade crossings. If you're getting up to 110 miles an hour, at least on the projects I worked on, you have no at-grade crossings. They're all separated crossings, either below grade or over, and you can't slow down. It's slowing down is not what high speed's about. Take any comments off the air.
All right. Thanks for calling. Bill?
Yes, that's the plan for the high-speed train in California, and that's going to, when that gets funded, it's going to change transportation in America. Again, that's sort of the interstate. You can't go on to that track at all, and that's the one that's going to go up to 240 miles an hour. That's not the kind of track and trains and speeds we're talking about in Wisconsin right now.
Okay. Lori in Lake Geneva, your turn. Hi, Lori.
Hi. Great topic. It's about time that we did something like this. I've been on the rail system in Europe, and it's wonderful. But my question is this. Has there been any discussion as to cost? Because it has to be affordable if people are going to use this to commute back and forth to work, et cetera. It can't cost an arm and a leg.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great question. Let's take that and go back to the California train. That fare is going to be $55 one way from San Diego all the way up to San Francisco or Sacramento. Cars cost 50 cents a mile. I mean, you don't think about that because you're only thinking about the gasoline. But an average car costs $8,000 to $9,000 a year, they say, and that works out to 50 cents a mile. And so, trains right now are incredibly affordable. I took one from Springfield to Chicago for $28. They're cheaper than planes. I took one from Washington D.C. to New York, and it was a business trip, so I was able to go in first class, which if you're a business person, you ought to try Acela first class. It's pretty amazing. And that's cheaper than airfare. So right now, the fares for trains are extremely reasonable, much less than driving. During the higher gas prices in Chicago, they were comparing the commuter train cost to gas prices, and it costs the same just on gas to take a commuter train in, not including parking or anything like that. So trains are going to be reasonably priced.
All right. Thanks, Lori, for calling. And we turn to Catherine in Reedsburg. Hi, Catherine.
Hello. How are you?
Great. Thanks for calling.
Sure. The reason I called is because, first of all, I like this idea of having this train, even a high-speed train, at some point or another. And I could, it's nice that you're trying to think of all these reasons to support it. I can't crunch the numbers or I haven't looked at all the statistics, but somehow intuitively, it seems like it's a reasonable thing to do financially. Hopefully it'll save us more money as consumers, like what you were just telling the person who just called. But there's one argument that you keep using, which I'm kind of concerned about that because I don't know how well that would work. Because you said something about using time to work while you're on the train. Well, if you're using the internet to work, you may as well just stay home because you can save money doing that. I mean, meetings and group interactions at work can take place over the internet nowadays, so you don't even need the train to get on the train and do that. So, I mean, I would probably stick to other things like saving people money in traveling and paying for gas and, you know, letting them read a book maybe while they're on the way. I would like to sleep on the train. You know, I'm in the health services, and I need a lot of sleep, and I would like to be able to fall asleep for 1 or 2 hours so I can perform better at my job because it's a service-related health job. You know, that other one, that other argument to support, I mean, if it works, I guess that's fine. But what I find with people that can do their work on their internet, you know, for 2 or 3 hours going in and out of work, they can probably do most of their work, because I've also worked in those types of jobs. They can also sit at their desk at home and just do it through that. And we did have group meetings through our internet connection. So.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for calling. Bill, comment?
Well, you can do anything you want on a train. If you want to sleep or you want to play, I'm all for it. But we are going to be traveling more. When I mentioned I was in Springfield, I was working in Springfield. I needed to be there with the client. And on the way back to Chicago on the train, I wrote up a report that made my organization $1,000. And that's how business people think. They think in terms of time is money, and it's more true than ever. So you don't have to work on a train, but increasingly people do want to make best use of their time. Going up north, think about going up for your vacation. If you're in Milwaukee, Madison, or Chicago, if you could work all the way up north, you would have an extra day or two up north on vacation to spend if you were able to take a train rather than a car.
No, something to think about. Thanks, Catherine. Ben in Madison, your turn. Hi, Ben.
Yes, hi. People who have a question about the efficiency and the future as well as whether it will be affordable or not should visit India. One of the things, nice things that the British did when they occupied us is connect every place all over the country with trains. And that has become a boon right now. It is convenient from any place to any place you can go, even where the coaches are changed automatically. You sit in one coach and go from Delhi to a small place in South India. And you can order this by the internet. Either the railway department will courier the ticket to you, or you can print it in your own printer. And the cheapest world train transportation is in India. And for a while it had to be subsidized. Now it makes money, mainly because in addition to transporting people, they are transporting goods and find it is very inexpensive and it's efficient and saves gas and pollution, saves lives, saves money, and it is absolutely beautiful. They also even have travel plans where it's a 7-day, 5-day travel. They take care of not only your travel by train, but also staying there in a hotel and food, everything. The hot homemade food is delivered to you on the way if you want, rather than going in a restaurant car, which is also available in the train.
Okay, Bill, comment.
Well, I agree with the caller in many respects. We have had record train ridership in this country, Larry, for 4 years now. So we do need to keep in mind that these trains are packed. So there's a lot of demand for them. You know, 60, 70 years ago, I have a railroad map of Wisconsin from 1932. You could go from Presque Isle to Mercer on a train. It went everywhere. But in this century, we don't need in the United States for it to go everywhere. There are only 100 cities that generate 75% of our economic activity. So when we merely connect those 50 to 100 largest cities, we're going to effectively be serving about half of the population for most of the economic activity. The more trains, the better. The more lines, the better. But this is doable.
It is doable. And, well, it sounds like it's been done in India on an even grand scale.
Yes, it does.
That's for sure. Thank you, Ben, for calling. Lauren in Delavan, it's on to you now. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've traveled to Shinkansen in Japan quite often. My daughter taught school there. I visit her a lot. It's a terribly expensive way to travel. In fact, it's more expensive than taking a plane. But nonetheless, one of the things that was brought up by a previous caller was the fact that high-speed tracks or high-speed trains can't cross roads. You have to have a separated crossing. And so obtaining those right-of-ways in our current environment would be very, very expensive. However, there is a very good alternative to that, and that would be that the space between the median between the interstates, that's an open area. That would be a perfect spot to put a high-speed train because it already connects all the cities together. Plus, there are electrical lines about going past every one of those, so you already have the infrastructure in place for that. And I'll just take my comment off the line. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling. What do you think, Bill?
That's the first question I and a lot of people ask transportation train people is, why not just use the middle of the interstate? And the answer right now is that the grading, the hills, is not, you can't put a track on the hills in the interstate. And then there is a problem with the bridges. Fortunately, that's not what we're doing right now. In the future, one can imagine decommissioning the interstates because we only already own the land. But right now, we're talking about existing freight tracks. So when you're thinking about train service in Wisconsin, at least in the next 10 to 20 years, you want to look at a map of Wisconsin for freight lines, because that's where they're looking to build the passenger lines.
And again, I want to remind everybody that there are some public hearings coming up, a chance for you to talk. There's one this afternoon at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison from 4 to 7 that the DOT is holding, and there's another one next week. Go online, and Bill, where do we go again for that?
Well, I would Google DOT 2030 plan,
okay,
or Wisconsin DOT 2030 plan, and that'll get you right there. There's hearings in Stevens Point on the 19th, Eau Claire on the 20th, Appleton sometime.
Yeah.
So
there are several coming up.
Yeah.
Bill, a great pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah, if people want more information or want to get involved, they can go to our book's website, nineshift.com, nineshift.com, and we'd be glad to help them out.
All right. Thanks very much for being with us today. Bill Draves is president of Learning Resources Network, known as LEARN. It's the world's largest continuing education association in the world. And he was referring, when he said Nine Shift, he was referring to his book that he's co-authored with Julie Coates. It's called Nine Shift, nine as in written out nine, not the number nine. Nine Shift, Works, Life, and Education in the 21st Century. So pleased to have him with us today, and certainly glad to have you listening in. We're going to switch gears a little bit with you and talk about county land and water conservation programs in Wisconsin and get some information and input from a couple of experts. Next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.